Today is the 26th day of April, 26th day of the Omer, and the 11th of Iyar, 5778. And we are going to, Be'ezrat Hashem, finish Perek Bet of Shmuel. Now, what's so interesting learning all of this is that this is really from the time of having kings, the first civil war that we're going to be reading about. I mean, there were other civil wars among the Shvatim, and there's still, I think we'll see, kind of very much Shvatim-oriented, especially Yehuda and everyone else. But we're really going to read about a civil war. So and I don't know why we don't learn about it more, because it's really serious. Okay. So also, this is another one of those, we've had a few of them, where the story kind of tells itself, and then Malbim helps us to appreciate the deeper, so I don't have a lot of other commentaries, a couple other things besides Malbim. We're going to come back to this segment in Perek Gimel as we sort of explore who Avner was in his character. If you remember Avner, last week we talked about him appointing Ishbosheth as king, and we explored whether he was this horrible, terrible person who's just like the enemy of David and wants to do whatever he can, or if he was maybe a little bit of a tzaddik who is trying to fulfill this prediction from Hashem's bracha to Yaakov that there would be two kings coming from Binyamin. So he was not doing it out to get David, but out to fulfill the prophecy so that David's path would be smooth. We'd get all those kings of Binyamin out of the way. So we're going to be looking at his character more. He's going to get even weirder in the next parak. And we're also going to explore Yoav here. So it's a civil war. I want to preface by saying Rav Bazak says this, that even though Avner and the side of Shaul seems to be clearly at fault and the instigators here, Yoav is not so innocent. So that's going to be interesting to look at as well. Okay, so let's start reading. So Vayetze Avner, so we're starting in the middle of the parak, and some of it is repeat from last week, but just to give us context for this week. Vayetze Avner ben Ner, ve'avdei Ishboshet ben Shaul, Machanaim Givona. So Avner, the son of Ner, and the servants of Ishboshet, all, and the son of Shaul, they went to Givona from Machanaim. And I was reminded of this also, I think, in Rav Bazak, that Machanaim is called, Yaakov titled it Machanaim when he saw camps of angels there. And so it's also a prominent place in forefather history, and that's where they're kind of set up. If you remember, David went to Hebron, and Avner seems to be in Machanaim, and they go to Givon, which we talked about last week, which is where not the Aron, but the Mishkan, which implies the Bama, the Mizbeach, is. Okay. Yigemel v'yoav ben Tsruya v'avdei David yatsu v'yifgeshum al brechat giv'on yachdav v'yeshvu eila al ha-brecha mizeh v'eila al ha-brecha mizeh. So Yoav, the son of Tsruya, the servant of David. So Tsruya, oh, hi! Hi! Do you guys mind sharing? Okay. So we're about to start this first civil war kind of thing. So Shaul's camp, who's died. Ruth, you missed Shaul's death.
Yes, I missed a lot.
So Shaul's died. But Avner, his general, who's also related to him, is still holding out. And he has appointed Ishbosheth, who is this surprising last remaining son of Shaul, who's still alive. But he obviously wasn't involved in any of the fighting. We never hear about him before. He's appointed him king. While David is coming back from where he's been hiding out in the Plishtim area. He comes to Hebron, and he's been anointed publicly among Yehuda in Hebron.
Who's been anointed?
David. David was already privately anointed by Shmuel many, many moons ago, and now he's had this public acceptance of him as king by Yehuda, but Ishbosheth has been anointed by Avner in the north as the son of Shaul. Okay, so and they're in a place called Machanaim, which is in the north, and it's right near. I should have brought the map again. I had this great map last week. It's near Yavesh Gilad. And Yavesh Gilad are the people originally when Shaul took over who were under threat by Nachash, the king of Ammon. And Shaul was able to unite all of Israel when he cut up the cattle into 12 pieces and sent it out, if you remember that gory story. And so Ishbosheth, when the Plishtim killed Shaul and just let his bodies hang up there, they snuck in to give him proper burial. And David made a show of saying, what you did was very honorable and it's great and it's wonderful and I'm king now. But it could have been the other way, that because they were loyal to Shaul, David could have just had them all killed. But instead he, in keeping with the way he treated Shaul all throughout, even when he was trying to pursue him and kill him, told him how honorable it was. So it could be that Avner, being based in Machanaim, which is near Yavesh Gilad, saw that kind of as an affront to his territory. And he then comes from Machanaim to Givon. Givon is where the Mishkan, but not the Aron. The Aron is in Kiryat Yearim. They've been separated since the Plishtim took them, had conquered it. And they all come to Givon, which is in the territory of Binyamin. Okay, so Binyamin, technically in the split, is really in the territory of what Avner, in appointing Ishbosheth as king, would be ruling at this point. Okay, so we're on Pasuk Yud Gimel. The Yoav ben Tzruya, so Yoav the son of Tzruya. Tzruya is the sister of David. Okay, so it's one of those rare occasions where somebody's being called by his mother's name. And we don't really know much about Tzruya, except for she's the mother of all these, of a lot of sons that we're going to see are kind of hasty, wild, quick to anger. So we don't know much about her except for her sons, and we don't know why she's not named by their father's name as most people are, but it could be that because she was the sister of David, she was more famous. So they went out, and they met at this pool of Givon together, and they sat at the pool, one side on this side and the other on this side. And Rav Bazak mentions that this is actually reminiscent of the setup with Goliath, when you had the Plishtims on one side and the Jews on the other side, so which should make our heart feel very heavy to compare Jews against Jews to Plishtim against Jews. And if you look at the very last page, you can see the archaeological evidence of this Brecha of Givon, which is very cool. Okay. And we are doing... Okay, so... okay, good. So that is the setting. Yod Dalet. Vayomer Avner el Yoav. So the two generals are speaking to... Well, no. Avner, as the general of Shaul's, Ishbosheth at this point side, is speaking to Yoav, the general of David's side. Notice David is not here. Yakumu na hanarim visachaku lifanenu. So he proposes... This whole thing is so weird. Let the young men who... might here, you could even define as soldiers, let them get up and lisachek, okay? Whatever that means before us. Vayomer Yoav, yakumu. And Yoav says, let them get up. Okay, so clearly Avner is suggesting this, but Yoav's pretty quick to agree. It's the same pasuk. We don't even have a pasuk break where Yoav says, let them get up. Okay, so now we're just going to explore what this lisachek means a little bit. So,
seems like it's saying, let the kids play in the pool.
Yeah, if only. If only. Okay, so if you look at... So sorry, I didn't put page numbers, but these are the first sources after the English translation. So we have a Gemara in Yerushalmi, and it asks the question, Avner Lama Neharag, why was Avner killed? So we're... This is obviously much later when he gets killed. Actually, it's not much later. We'll see. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Rabbi Nan. So there are three different opinions about why he was killed. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Amar al she'asad deman shel narim skok, because he made the blood of young men into sport. We're going to see this little game does not end well. Okay? L'sachek, just so you know, means to play, as Chaim said, to play in the pool. So he made sport of the blood of young men. Shenamar yakumu na narim v'sachu lefaneinu. Bayomer avner yakumu. Now it's Right, so Avner was the one that said, let them come up and play, or sport before us. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Amar al Shehikdim Shmo l'Shmo Shel David. And so Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish says he put his name before David's. If you look at this pasuk from the next chapter that we're going to get to, Vishlach Avner Malachim al David Tachtav Lemor Lemi Eretz Katav Min Avner le David. So he says, he uses this phrase, from Avner to David, and that's why he was killed. V'Rabbanan Amru Al Shalohi Niach L'Sha'ul L'Hitpayes Min David. So the rabbis say it was something that happened way before in Shmuel Aleph Kaf Dalet, that he wouldn't allow Shaul to make amends with David when there was a chance of peace between the two of them. V'Avi Ra'a Gam Ra'ok Et Knaf Ma'alecha B'Yadi. So he reminds Shaul of the coat that David took, I think. I'm not sure. I should have looked at that more carefully.
Me'ilcha.
Biadi. So he doesn't allow David and Shaul to make amends. So those are three things. And the first one, obviously, is the one relevant to ours, that he makes sport, which we're going to read about. Now, in order to understand what l'sachek means, we need to see what Rashi says. This is going all the way back to Breishit Perkaf Aleph, after Yitzchak is born. Vatera Sarah et ben Hagar haMitzrit asher yalda leAvraham mitzachek. So Sarah saw the son of Hagar the Egyptian that who had born to Avraham, mitzachek. So also in Hebrew, for some reason they treat tzadis and sins the same. A lot of times tzadi sin and samach seem to be interchangeable in rabbinic midrash when they're making these analogies. So you see the translation here says making merry. So Rashi is going to give actually three different translations of what this is. Mitzachek, Lashon Avodazara. So one example of what it can be to make merry, to mitzachek, is to worship idols. K'mo she'ne'amar, Shmot Lamed Bet, ve'yakumu litzachek. This is, of course, the golden calf. And it says the people got up, again, it's even the same language, vayakumu, litzachek, they got up to play. So it could be a commentary on that what Avner and Yoav are doing is not Jewish, the way what we're about to see. And I'm sorry I haven't told you what we're about to see, but you're going to get the idea. Devar acher, lashon gilui ariot. Another explanation is it's inappropriate sexual conduct. Kama detema, as it's written, litzachek bi. And that, of course, is the story of Yosef and Potiphar's wife. When Potiphar's wife, after Yosef flees from her, tells her husband and tells her servants also that they brought this Hebrew slave, litzachek bi, to play with me, to laugh at me, but it's with sexual misconduct. Devar acher, lashon ritzicha. Another language is murder. Kamo yakumu naha na'arim v'sakhu lefaneinu. Begomer, just like in our pasuk, where the connotation is murder. Okay, so that is that's how we define l'sachek. One more thing we have to do before. So sorry, I didn't realize I had this. Yod bet from when Avner leads Achiboshet and everyone from Machanaim to Givona. So the Radak says Ata Omer ki achar shem lichu et Ishboshet b'Machanaim. Kodem shavar yaden l'shuv l'beito, haya mashaya. So this is now, after they made to rule Ishboshet in Machanaim, and before they crossed the Jordan, Machanaim's on the other side of the Jordan, to return to his house, things happened. V'yatza Avner imav de Ishboshet l'lechet l'giv'on. And they all went out to go to Giv'on. Shehu eretz Binyamin, that this is in the land of Binyamin. V'yatzu aleihem Yoav v'avdei David v'yifgashum al birkat Giv'on. And then Yoav and the servants of David came to them, and they met at this pool of Giv'on. V'nirah ki da'at Yoav haya lehilachem imam. And it appears that the mindset of Yoav was to go to war with them. V'ra'a ki rabim asher itam v'chadal ad she'amar Avner yakumu nahanarim v'sachu lefaneinu. Until Avner, so it was in the mind of Yoav to wage war against them until he saw the multitudes of the people of Avner, And he stopped until Avner then said this, let the young men play before us. Okay, so the Radak is describing a purposeful meeting on the part of Yoav, like an aggressive meeting there. Avner is going home to Binyamin. Yoav is meeting them aggressively, and then he decides to stop, but then Avner proposes this, so they're at war. And this is going to be in contradistinction that we'll see when we look into it.
Avner is saying, let's start killing each other?
Basically.
Oh.
The Malbim, yeah, the Malbim, which I think we'll do Yodalad through Yodzayin together in the Malbim, is going to say that it's more of a happenstance occurrence that they both happen to arrive there. Okay, so let's see what happens. What is this Lesachik? Tetvav. Ve'ekumo ve'avru b'mispar shnei masar lebin yamim uli ish boshet ben Shaul u'shnei masar me'avdei David. So they chose 12 young men from Binyamin and from Ishbosheth ben Shaul, from that side. They're calling it Binyamin. They're in Binyamin territory, and of course Ishbosheth is from Binyamin, even though it incorporates all the other tribes besides Yehuda, and 12 from the servants of David. Now, obviously, 12 is a significant number, especially when it comes to ruling the Jewish people, and it's the, you know, significance of this beginning of what's going to be a civil war. A short-lived civil war, but a civil war nonetheless, that they each want 12, they each want to rule over 12 tribes. Tetzayin ve'yachas ziku ish berosh re'ehu v'charbo betzad re'ehu. So I'm kind of imagining, my husband was a wrestler for ninth grade in high school, you know, like when you see high school wrestlers on the mat and they're in a position where they're holding on to each other, like it's not like boxing when they're far away. Like, I don't know, you can picture it. But their swords are at their side, are at each one's side. So they each held onto the head. And it translates here, and his sword was thrust in his fellow's side. Right. And they fell together. So somehow in this wrestling stance with their swords, they each at the same time thrust the swords into each other. It's very tragic. And I don't even know, we're going to have all sorts of explanations of what was the original intent of this. Was this was meant to happen? I mean, neither Avner nor Yoav could be evil enough to that this is what they anticipated happening. It's just really sad. So
is that all of them, because there were 12?
Yeah, so 12 and 12. Each one has a partner. And that's the end.
It's a very strange description of a war. First of all, someone says...
it's going to turn into a war.
Oh.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you have two armies facing each other, but only 12 people are fighting.
Right, so we're going to see in the mobbing that the intent might have been to just have these 12 young men fight, 24 young men fight each other, and see who was more powerful physically, and then it wouldn't have come to any death. But the 24 men all kill each other, young men, which is, it's so bizarre.
They're all armed.
Yeah, they all have swords.
Yeah, like, had they taken out their swords and left them on the side by the pool?
Right. Right. You know? Then it could have been just a friendly wrestling match.
Tell your kids don't run with a sword.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so Vayikra l'makom ha'hu chalkat hatsurim asher v'givon. So they call that place the territory of those slain by sharp swords, which is how they translate it here. And it's in Givon. Okay, one more pasuk and then we'll do the commentary. Vatihi hamilchama kasha ad me'od bayom hahu. And now suddenly the war gets very strong on that day. Vayinagef Avner v'anshei Yisrael lifnei avdei David. And Avner, so meaning Shaul Ishbosheth's side, is beaten very much before the servants of David. So it looks like, so the servants of David are winning. So now let's look at the commentary in the Malbim. So Malbim, as usual, asks questions first. So questions on these psukim that we just read. Ech amar yakumu hanarim v'sachku? How could Avner have said, let the young boys stand up and play? V'chize schok lishpoch dam v'legarot midon u'milchama l'lo tzorach? Is this a sport to spill blood and to threaten the breakout of war without any need? V'lama lo amar v'yavru b'mispar shnemasar me'avdei Sha'ul k'mosha katav v'shnemasar me'avdei David. And why doesn't use parallel language in describing the 12 of the from the servants of Sha'ul to the 12 of those of the servants of David? Okay, now we'll see if he answers all these questions. V'yomer Avner haya hamatzchil v'hagoram laza. So Malbim is clearly placing this on Avner, that he was the opener, the beginner of this, and the cause of all the bloodshed that's to come. V'tchila haya dato rak lischok bilvad. But he intended at the beginning that they would just have sport, leharot kocham v'havakam yachad, to show their strength in this struggle of them together. So that's what I said before, that Avner's intention was not that they would kill each other. Tet bav, v'yakumu v'yavru, shebnei binyamin avru el bnei Yehuda. So the children of Binyamin passed on to the children, the sons of Yehuda, be'ofen shehem hidchilu b'riv, in a way to show that they started the fight. So that's why the language isn't parallel. V'hine avru shnemasar neged shnemasar shvatim. And the Malvim then spells it out for you, that this is 12 tribes against 12 tribes. Shayu tachat machut ishboshet, that were under the command of ishboshet, ish l'shevet, each one to a shevet. B'zeh shamar b'mispar shnemasar l'binyamin uli ishboshet, shishboshet kolel tachtav yater shvatim shebinyamin rosh l'kulam. So he's explaining the language is just saying that all the other tribes, the 12 tribes, were under Ishboshet, but Binyamin was the head of them all. Ulematza huchrach sheyu gam ken yudbet me'avdei David. And in correspondence to this, it was necessary that the servants of David would also have 12 representing them, even though they were only representing one tribe. Okay, tetzayin ve'yachziku tchila lo haya datam lochom becharvot. So again, Malbim stressing, in the beginning, their intention was not to fight with swords. Rak heksiku ish berosh ve'ehu kader kanev kim yachad. Rather, each one held onto the head of the other, like those who struggle together. And I think struggle here is a technical term for wrestling, also, even though I'm saying struggle. Umize nitzmach shetak'u kol achad charbo betzad re'ehu ad shenaflu yachdav. And from this, it sprouted that each one took his sword from the side of his friend, Re'ehu. It's very interesting also, it uses the word Re'ehu instead of, it could have used the term enemy, right? But instead it uses Re'ehu, sort of like being during Sfira of Rabbi Akiva, V'haftel Re'echa Kamocha, and they were not treating each other with love, the students of Rabbi Akiva. So it spread and they all fell together. Kipoter mayim reshit madun. And he quotes a pasuk from Mishlei that I have for you. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, and before you are exposed, abandon the quarrel. And Rashi there explains, the beginning of strife is like letting out water. Whoever commences a quarrel is like one who opens a hole in the stone walls of a water canal, and the water goes out through it, and the hole becomes progressively wider, so does the quarrel constantly escalate. So you can really see this in placing the blame on Avner for this didn't have to be anything. And Avner said, let them fight, and he opened up the water, and it eroded everything. Okay, one more Yud Zayin. Vatiya melchama kasha, and the war was difficult. She'achar shebao lidei shvichat damim. I added the parentheses, I had to look that up. So after they came to murder, umin hanavakim shenaflu kulam, and that the wrestlers, all of them, fell, lo nitbarer mi hanoteach, then they didn't know who was the winner, because they all died. L'chein nimshacha ha-melchama ad shehayta melchama kasha. And that's why this war, which now it went from 12 on 12, just showing a show of strength, to full-out war, as the Malbim's calling it, and the Pasuk, sorry, called it, it turned into a very difficult war. V'yinegef Avner, and Avner was beaten. Shehaya Hamatchil B'Ketata, because he was the one that started this debacle. Okay, so you see the development, how Malvi was spelling it out between this 12 on 12 struggle and how then and why then they all killed each other, and then it turned into a full-out war. Okay, so now Yud Chet. V'yusham shlosha b'nei Tzruya. Tzruya, the mother, had three sons there. Yoav, v'Avishai, v'Asael. Okay. V'Asael, kal b'raglav ke'echad hatzviim asher b'sadeh. So it takes special note of her son Asael, who was light on his feet like one of the deer in the field. Okay. Yotet, v'yirdof Asael acharei Avner. And Asael, so light on his feet and quick, he chased after Avner. V'lo natal alechet el hayamin v'al asmol me'acharei Avner. And he was chasing him in such a way that Avner could not escape. He couldn't go left, he couldn't go right. He didn't veer from, Asael did not veer from chasing Avner to the left or to the right. Okay. So the Malbim there, Yotet Vayirdof, Yakdim Ki Avner Harag La'asal B'din Rodef. So it's using this language of Vayirdof because Avner is going to kill Asael. I'm giving you a spoiler alert in the next couple of psukim, but he's going to do it with the din of Rodef. Everyone knows that when somebody's pursuing you and trying to kill you, you are totally halachically allowed to kill them first. It's called din Rodef. And there are two reasons that the Malbim gives why he could do this. Ki radaf acharav, because indeed he was chasing after him. That's Aleph. And Bet, shelo tomar, shelo kivein davka al Avner, rak ki rodef b'milchama, al kol mi sheiv gosh, ki lo nata v'chulei acharei Avner. So the Malbim is using this language that Asael is single-mindedly chasing after Avner. So you couldn't say that Asael didn't intend to kill Avner, like anybody in a war who kills whoever he meets, because he didn't let Avner out of his sights. He didn't go left or right. Okay, Pasuk Kaf, back in the text. Vayifein Avner acharav, vayomer ha'ata ze Asael, vayomer anochi. So Avner turned after him and said, are you Asael? And he said, that is me. Kaf Aleph, vayomer lo Avner, Natelecha al yamincha o al smalecha ve'achozecha echad me'anarim ve'kachlecha et chalatzato ve'loava asal lasur me'acharav. So Avner is giving him this out. He's saying, why don't you turn to the right or to the left and go after one of the other young men and take for yourself his, I guess, equipment, his clothing. But Asal did not want to go from anywhere else. He didn't want to turn aside from following him. Okay, and now that was Kafal, so let's look in the Malbim again. Nateh Gimel. So here's another reason why Avner can be part of Din Rodef, was allowed to kill him. And the third reason is Avner Hisiroto, because Avner warned him. Vayan shehu lechlima leheg gabor sheyashuv rekam b'milchama. So he understood that it would be embarrassing for somebody to return empty from war. Amar lo natalecha alatzad, go to the side, v'achazecha achad min anarim, and take one of the other young men, ad sheyaduma ki acharav radavta lakachat chalitzato, until it would appear that you weren't chasing after me, Avner, but you were chasing after one of these young men. You don't have to be embarrassed from this by turning aside, just go after one of the other young men. Okay, kafbet. By Yosef od Avner lemor el asel. So now Avner is giving him another warning. Sur lecha me'acharai. Go away from me. Lama akeka arza. Why should I have to kill you to the ground? Ve'ech esa panai el Yoav achicha. Then how will I be able to lift up my face to Yoav, your brother? Okay, so we have this situation where Avner is the general. Yoav is the other general. A brother of Yoav is relentlessly chasing Avner. Avner knows full well that even though Asael is very quick and younger, that he has complete control. and he's only running away from him so that Asael can change his mind. And he says, "You're going to be created. You're going to force me to kill you, and you're going to create diplomatic strife. It's just going to get worse." Okay. Kafgema vayema ein lasur, and he refused to turn aside. Vayakehu Avner ba'acharei hachanit el hachomesh. Vateitse hachanit me'acharav. Okay, so this is very gory. Avner killed him with the other side of his throwing sword. Okay, not even the sword part. On the fifth rib, which apparently is where two very important organs meet, and the throwing sword came out the other side of him. Okay, this is Avner's strength. If you can imagine this, Avner is running from him. Avner is in front of him, and somehow Avner backwards was able to take the non-sword of his side and thrust it into Asael in such a way that it came out the other side of Asael. And we're going to see this fifth rib appears in other places, and it's always fatal and deadly. And so the question is, couldn't Avner, with all his force and power, have just injured Asael, like, you know, done something with his leg so that he fell and couldn't chase him anymore? Why was it this fifth rib, this completely deadly, very isolated, accurate place? Okay? So then, Vehi kol habal makom asher nafal sham Asael, vayamot vayamodu. And everyone came to this place where Asael fell, and he died, and they stood there. Okay, so this is like a shocking end to this war. Okay, so let's look at the Radak. Ve'acharei hachanit, in the wrong side of the chanit, he's going to explain this. Yesh chanito sherosh eitz hachanit mechudad. Ubo barzel mechudad asui letako ba'aretz. So he explains that the way this sword would have been manufactured is that the non-sword part could have also been very sharp and made of iron, very sharp iron, in order so that you could put it into the ground. Okay, so that you could have it then ready and the sword part would be pointing up and you could just take it out of the ground and throw it. Kemosha amar b'Sha'ul, just like it's written about Sha'ul, v'chanito mi'uka ba'aretz, his sword was thrust in the ground. Upamim makimbo la'achor she'in ponim el harodaf la'hakoto b'la'habat hachanit ela makim b'acharei hachanit. And there are times when, and he's describing that, not only was it in order to thrust into the ground, but also that there would be times when you would need to use the backside when somebody's chasing you, just in this case, in order to get him, that you wouldn't turn aside to kill him with the sword part, and you would do it the back way, with the back of the sword. V'chein asar Avner, and this is what Avner did, lo panal Asael, he didn't turn towards Asael, ele hikahu b'acharei hachanit, he killed him with the backside of the chanit. Okay, so now let's look in the Malbim, on the pasuk that we just read. V'yema'ein, so Asael refused. T'chila amar lo avar, in the beginning he said he didn't want to, ki habilti ovehu b'lev, because he didn't want to in his heart. V'hamema'ein hu b'peh, and the refraining from was just in his mouth. Wait, let me just look at that again. Right, so he wasn't exactly united in what came out of his mouth and what was in his heart. Ve'ata, and now, she'amar le lama akeka arza, when Avner said to him, why should I kill you to the ground? Yirei bilibo. Ve'ava bilibo lasur. And then he actually wanted to, in his heart, to turn around. Rak bepeh amar shememain. It was only in his mouth that said he refused. Ki hayalo ata lechlima al shehifchiduhu. Because then it would be embarrassing for him because he was afraid. Vayikehu. So Malvim's doing something there with the language. I guess because it doesn't repeat that he didn't want there. So it was in his heart different than in his mouth. Vayikehu, and he killed him. Ukedin rodef hakehu kanira leal. And he killed him halachically, as a rodef, as he mentioned, as Amal Bimar had explained above, v'lo haya yachol lehatzilo be'achad me'evarav, and he wasn't able to save him by simply taking out one of his limbs, ki hakahu be'acharei achanit she'ein mesuman kol kach, because he killed him with, but without turning around, with the backside of the sword, which isn't so exact. Kamo im hayam akahu im halahavet, as if as it would have been exact had he killed him with the front part of the sword. Rak shemitzad shayam acher Avner v'lo ra'ah, just said this was behind Avner and he didn't see. Kara shekeu al chomash, it happened that he killed him in this very fragile place of the fifth rib with these important organs. V'sheyatza chanit me'acharav, and the chanit came out from his other side, kia karov ad l'Avner, because at that point he was very close to Avner, so that's why he had such thrust. And it was because of this that he fell and he died under him. V'lo perper min hamakom hahu, and he didn't even move from that place, showing how they were so close. And I guess Malbim's justifying it even further through that by saying this was indeed Din Rodef. Okay, kaf dalet. Vayirdefu Yoav v'Avishai acharei Avner, and Yoav and Avishai, Asael's other brothers, fled after Avner. V'hashemesh ba, and the sun came. V'hema ba'al givat ama asher al pnei giach derech midbar givon. So they came to this hill of Ama. The hill of Ama, which is before Gia, by way of Desert Givon. Okay. Okay. And that, there's a Malbim on that. Vayirdefu, Ritzon Lamar, Hagam Sherabim Amdu al Gviat Harog. So even though there were many who were standing on the corpse of Asael, who was killed, Radfu Goalei Hadam Acharei Avner. The Goalei Hadam, so this is in also halachic, that when somebody kills someone else when it's not first degree murder, then the one who kills can go to Ir Miklat. What are they called in English?
Sanctuary.
Sanctuary city, thank you. Until his court his case comes to court, and then it'll be decided, and the court will rule on him whether it was Din Rodef indeed or whether he is liable. But in the meantime, while you're in the Ir Miklat, the sanctuary city, your blood relatives who cannot kill you. But if that person doesn't make it to the sanctuary city or steps out of the sanctuary city for any reason, then he's fair game to the immediate relatives. Okay? So halachically, at this point, Yoav and Avishai also have a right to go after Avner, who just killed his brother. Okay?
Well, does Ir Miklat apply during the war?
That's a good question. But this isn't
they're all killing each other.
Right, this whole situation is so weird. Because nobody declared war on anybody else. Unless you say by appointing Ishbosheth, Avner was in essence declaring war. I don't know. Okay. Kafhei. V'it kapsu b'nei Binyamin achrei Avner. So all the men of Binyamin, they gathered after Avner. V'ayhu le'aguda echat. And they became this unit, this like united unit around Avner. Ve'amdu al rosh givat achat, and givat achat, and they all stood at the top of one hill. So let's look at Malvim. Kafhevit kapsu, az hichinu b'nei Binyamin et atzman l'milchama. So Binyamin now is really like this. Whatever this was some kind of, I don't know. And now Binyamin is really preparing themselves for actual war. Aleph b'mashit kapsu l'aguda, that they all gathered as one unit, lo mefuzorim, not spread out. Bet mitzad shamdu al hagiva shemisham kalinatzeach, and also they were standing on the top of the hill where it would be easy to defeat them, and we're in the week of Netzach, so we have the word l'natzeach. Okay, kafav. So I feel like Malvim is really like upping the tension in the story by giving you these details. Vayikru Avner el Yoav. So Avner calls out to Yoav. Vayomer halenatzeach tochal cherev halo yadata ki maratia v'achrona v'ad matai lo tomar la'am lashuv me'acharei acheihem. Okay, so I'm going to read this in English. He says, will the sword forever consume? Did you not know that it would be bitter in the end? Until when will you not say to the people to return from after their brothers? Okay, so Avner is taking this oddly moral stand, saying, you have enough already. You're creating civil war. Stop. Until when will the sword consume? Let's see what Malvim says. Halenatzeach. So will you, it's a question of will you succeed? Will you, yeah. Amar Aleph, halo tachlit ha-milchama haya lerot miyanatzeach. The purpose of a war is to see who's going to be the victor. Ve'achar she'hasagta ha-tachlit lama tilachem od. And after you've grasped the purpose, which is to be the victor, why would you fight more? V'ki zot hi haya ha-tachlit she'tochal ka'erv lenatzeach. Because this would be the purpose that the sword will forever consume. Bet halo b'makom she'asiku al yedei ha-milchama ve'hashvichut zamim is a tachlit. So when you've in the place that they've grasped by way of war, and bloodshed is the purpose, as hagam shema she'shofchim dam hu davar mar, but also this bloodshed is bitter, because of besof yasigu davar matok shehu hatachlit shebavram lachma. In any case, at the end, you would also grasp something sweet, that in the sense of the purpose for which they were fighting. Aval la rogula beid nafashot lelo tachlit mo'yel. But to just kill and destroy souls without any useful purpose, halo maratia ba'achrona, then you'll only have bitterness. Lo tasig ba'acharita machama, davash venofet lahamtik mar hamavet. And you won't have any sweetness. Devash nofet is another word for honey. At the end of the war, to sweeten the bitterness of death. Okay, so did everyone understand that? Meaning, when you're fighting, Avner is accusing you of fighting for no purpose, of just fighting until everyone's consumed. And when you have that type of war, then there's no sweetness at the end that you had a purpose that you were fighting for. Gimel she'im yasu kazot b'milchamet oivim. Okay, so then why does Avner mention the brothers afterwards? If you do this in a war with your enemies to destroy and destroy, but not in a war with brothers. And until when will you not say to the nation to return from after their brothers? This is a civil war. This is very interesting how Avner is trying to take the moral high ground here. Let's see how Yoav responds. Vayomer Yoav, Chai ha-Elokim, by the life of God, he's making an oath, ki lulei dibarta ki az mehaboker na'ala ha'am ish me'acharei achiv. For had you not spoken from the morning, the people would have gone away, each one after his brother. You're the one who suggested the beginning of the fight. How can you say this? Kafchet ve'itka Yoav b'shofar. So Yoav did a tkia with the shofar. Ve'amdu kol ha'am, and the entire nation stood. Ve'lo yerdefu, and they didn't chase anymore. Od acharei Yisrael, after Yisrael. Ve'lo yasfu od lehilachim, and they didn't create war anymore. Now I don't know if we saw this, but just calling the other Yisrael here. We saw it last week also. And there Yehuda. This is, you know, all going to play out much later when we have more civil wars. Okay, so let's read Kaf Zayin. The question, I don't think I want to get into this. They have a question on what the word lule means. I don't want to get into that. Okay, Kaf Chet. So in the Malvim, below Yerdefu, and they didn't chase after. Acharei Haborchim Hamefuzarim. So he's saying, who would they be chasing after? Shaul, Avner and his men are all in one block. So they didn't chase after those who were fleeing, who were spread out. Below Lachmu, and they didn't fight Im Ha'agudasha Adda Nechona L'machama, with the block that was standing before them for war. So Malvim's just taking that there would be chasing after those who were spread out, and there would be fighting against this block that was all together there. Kaftet, Avner ve'anshav halchu ba'arava kol halayla. So Avner and his men, they walked in the Arava the entire night, on that night, ve'avru et ha'yarden, and they passed over the Jordan, ve'yachu kol ha'bitron ve'yavo machanaim. They went back to Machanaim, where they originally set out from. Ve'avner kaftet, because ze nishmeru shtei hakatot bal yalinu balayla. Ki Avner halach ba'arava kol halayla. So with all this, they still kept two different groups, and they didn't sleep during the night because they walked the whole night. Okay, lamed. V'yoav shav me'acharei Avner v'yikbots et kol ha'am v'yipakdu me'avdei David tish'a sar ish v'asa'el. So Yoav returned after Avner, and he gathered all the nation, and he counted from the servants of David 19 men and Asael. So those were his casualties. And the 19 includes the 12 from the original group that they appointed of the wrestlers and Asael. So that would be 20. He's counted separately. Lamed Aleph, Ve'avdei David, Hiku mi Binyamin, Ube'anshe Avner. Okay, so we know there were 19 losses from David's camp. David's not there, though. But the servants of David smote from Binyamin and the people of Avner. 360 men died. Okay, so they really did win, but they won. I don't know. It was just a horrible win. Okay, let's look at Malvim. Lamed Lamed Aleph, Ve'yoav, Ve'chulei, Ve'avdei David. When you take out the 12 men that were killed at the time that they struggled and Asael, hukumi Yehuda Shiva. Then during this war part, after the wrestling, there were 7 from Yehuda who died. There were 360, excluding those who were injured. V'haya lefi zeh echad neged chamishim. V'hu nitzachon muflag lo nishma kamohu. This was a completely exaggerated victory. It was a real victory, and the casualties on the Binyamin side were much more than those on the David side. We're almost done. Lamibet v'yisu et asael v'yikberuhu b'kever aviv. They lifted up Asael and they buried him in the grave of his father. Asher Beit Lechem, that was in Beit Lechem, Ve'yichol kol laila Yoav v'anshav v'ya'or lahem v'chevron. And they all ended up back in Chevron. So the light broke upon them in Chevron, v'ya'or. And then one more pasuk, beginning of Shmuel Bet, Per Gimel, but it's really a continuation of this. V'atia mechama roka ben Beit Shaul u'beit then Beit David. So this war continued to drag out between the house of Shaul and the house of David. The David holech v'chazek, but David continued to get stronger. Ubeit Shaul holchim v'dalim, and the house of Shaul continued to get weaker. Okay, thank you.